Hey everybody, it's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. I'm here with Will Salatin, and he has decided to do something very gracious. He watched Donald Trump's 60 Minutes interview. I did too. It took place tonight, Sunday, November 2nd. Will, I will say, before we get into the substance of this interview, I will say there's some history about 60 Minutes and Donald Trump. My understanding is that 60 Minutes is legally obligated under both the Constitution and the Geneva Conventions to air the entire footage of the interview, not make a single edit or cut. And if they do, they are obligated to pay whoever sues them $15 million in restitution. Is that your understanding of the law as it stands?
Yeah, that's definitely the law. And of course,
All right.
Donald Trump, the subject of the interview, is allowed to literally put words in the mouths of the Senate majority leader and put a mustache and a sombrero on the House minority leader.
Look, guys, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit.
All of that is totally legal at the same time.
Okay, I'm referring obviously to the fact that Donald Trump sued Paramount over the 60 Minutes interview that they did with Kamala Harris right before the election. They had made a cut, a normal editing cut that happens all the time in her interview. He said it was an in-kind contribution to her campaign. It was ridiculous. Paramount, however, happened to have a fair amount of business before the government, including a merger with Skydance that they wanted to complete. And so they paid the fine and they bought the free press. Now we're here we are with Trump 1 year later. From a roughly around then, sitting down for 6 minutes. In reality, it was a 90-minute interview they announced on the show. Obviously, if you are familiar with the title of the show, it's 60 Minutes, so they couldn't air all 90. They did edit it down. They did put a full transcript up online, which I'm grateful for. And I'm just joking. No one should sue them. It's stupid. All right. Well, what were your main takeaways from the substance of the interview?
Well, first of all, it's just interesting to see a deranged man expressing that kind of confidence close. I mean, he's nuts. He's completely nuts. We can go through some of the reasons, but like to see him up close with that, with that camera angle, you know, he's got the orange face. He's got the pink behind it, the pre-bronze look, right? But he's so confident in his delusions. And Sam, this interview, this was the first time that he came back from all the, so we had the shutdown going on here. We Trump going overseas, you know, getting Asia, Middle East. And this is the first time he comes back and he really gets grilled on what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, so what's interesting about, well, I guess not that interesting, but what's notable in the transcript actually makes clear that they started the interview itself with a hefty portion of foreign policy. It's a lot of China, Venezuela, Israel. And then it was after that they went into the domestic stuff, which I found interesting because when you watched it on TV, it started with the domestic stuff and then went to the foreign policy. And it felt like, just as a sort of a theater critic here, his energy got sort of zapped over the course of the interview. When in reality, if you look by the transcript, he was starting with the foreign stuff and he just wasn't as interested as he was with the domestic stuff. On the domestic stuff, he talked about the shutdown, which was what they aired first. What was your main thoughts on how he was approaching it?
Well, he wasn't approaching it. I mean, that's the crazy thing. Here's
Yeah.
this guy who's like projecting such action overseas. I'm doing all this stuff with trade deals, with
Yeah.
nuclear, with the Middle East and all that. Norah O'Donnell asks him, she literally says, what are you doing as president? What are you doing as president to lead us out of the shutdown, right? And he says, they just have to keep voting. They just have to, it's a they thing.
All we're doing is we keep voting. I mean, the Republicans are voting almost unanimously to end it. And the Democrats keep voting against ending it.
He has no answer to what he personally will do. He's like, I won't be extorted. He will not lead. And this is him looking right in the camera and saying, I'm not going to do anything. It's not my fault, not my job.
Right. And the juxtaposition was kind of interesting because there was a point when he was asked about, and again, foreign policy, domestic policy, but he was asked about his meeting with Putin in Alaska. And Norah O'Donnell, she says, you rolled out, I'm quoting her, you rolled out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin in Alaska. And he interjects pretty quickly and he goes, well, I roll out the red carpet for everybody.
I mean, you rolled out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin in Alaska, but there's been.
Well, I roll out the red carpet for everybody.
But not everybody. He's not talking to Democrats. Like that's someone he will not roll out the red carpet for. He won't roll out any carpet for them. He'll put
Sam,
a sombrero on them.
Am I hallucinating? Or didn't Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, come into the Oval Office and get berated
by
Trump
there.
And J.D. Vance. Like, I don't think of that as a red carpet. Like, that was more like a red wedding. I mean,
you said thank you once.
This a lot of times.
No, in this
even today.
Meeting, you said,
so it well. Seems like it's not exactly a fair.
Did you
deal.
Workshop that line?
No, I just good. Like it.
That's pretty good, man. Okay, yeah, that was notable. The other part, and again, read the transcript because it becomes more apparent how little plan he actually has when you read it. But she's like, well, this is all about healthcare. And, you know, what is your plan? Like, if you don't like Obamacare, you think it sucks, what's your plan? And he's just like, we'll get on it. We'll get to that. And then she's like, but what's your plan? And he's like, well, we'll deal with that. We almost got rid of Obamacare and it's terrible, but we'll do it.
So you're saying your plan is to tell the Democrats to vote to end the shutdown.
Correct. Very simple.
And that you will put forward a health care plan?
No, we will work on fixing the bad health care that we have. Right now, we have terrible health care at too expensive for the people, not for the government, for the people.
But, Mr. President, with all due respect, you've been talking about fixing the health care
sure.
insurance plan
and
since 2015.
Sure, because of the Democrats.
But
that's
since
right.
2015, you've said you'd
I've
fix it.
I've been talking about it for a long time. We almost did it. We were one vote short. We would have had great health care.
And he clearly has no plan. I mean, just absolute, which isn't a surprise, obviously. They've been going around this thing for, you know, a decade now, and they don't have a plan to replace, and they never will. You'd think he'd have something to say with a little bit more substance, but not this guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, what is the number of times that Donald Trump will be asked this question and will not have an answer to it? And we keep having the same thing. It's the Groundhog Day, right? Like,
what was
Trump's
the campaign
asked-
one? Prospects
oh, concepts.
Plan?
I have concepts of a plan.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
And like, so like, Sam, you know how politics works. The politician, like, you go back with your team and they're like, okay, that was not a great answer. Let's have something for next time. But right. It's been next time and next time and next time. And he still's got nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing. They got nothing. Let me ask you, how'd you think Nora did?
I thought she was okay. The big problem with Trump, see, I watch everything Trump does.
Yeah.
And what Trump really likes is to have 20 reporters around. Yeah. And he's got like more than 10 of them are these.
Yeah, because you can
nutty.
Stop. You could be like, oh, no. Next question. Yeah.
Totally. So that's the
you're
normal
a loser.
President.
your network is a failing network. Next
yeah,
question.
You're fake news NBC, fake news ABC. So he goes to somebody else. And now this president has like 15 people out of the 20 who are just these nutball right wing, you know, non-reporters, sycophants who just feed him what he wants. So he always can move on. So what I thought was great is you have one interviewer and she gets to persist if she does her job. And I think she did try to, you know, get him to answer her questions.
Yeah, no, I think people are generally, not always, but often a little too tough on the Trump interviewer because he is, whatever you want to say of the guy, he's very good at deflecting and bullshitting. And getting out of there. I mean, it's very hard to pin him down and he'll talk over you. And like, it's just a really hard job. I thought she did a good job. There are parts where like, he's just going to steamroll. And there's one part where he did and, you know, they made the pushback on the edit, which I thought was important. And that was when she was pressing him on these political prosecutions, Comey and Bolton and Letitia James. This is verbatim. Did you instruct the Department of Justice to go after them? And Trump says no, and not in any way, shape or form.
No, you don't have to instruct them because they were so dirty, they were so crooked, they were so corrupt that the honest people we have, Pam Bondi's doing a very good job, Kash Patel's doing a very good job. The honest people that we have go after them automatically.
And I'm just thinking to myself, I know I saw that Truth Social post. Like, I didn't hallucinate that. I saw that Truth Social post. Now, she didn't mention Truth Social post. They did include that in the edit, though.
But in a Truth Social post from September addressed to Attorney General Pam Bondi, President Trump endorsed the idea that former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James were, quote, guilty as hell.
Right. But I think they owe Trump about $20 million for doing that because that wasn't in the interview, right? Like
here's
this
another
is,
lawsuit coming.
This is like where the mental illness comes in. The guy just looks you right in the face. And Sam, I think he believes his own bullshit. I really do. But right. So he says, not in any way, shape or form. He just erases from his mind. Yeah. And they show the thing in which he's literally the thing begins with Pam.
Yeah.
Go after these three people.
It was literally a direct message.
Yeah, like, right. So, like, so you know, you really do need them at that point to just put up there on the screen as they did. Like, here is the evidence that this man is lying to you.
There, to your point, like, because the lies and the mistruths come so rapidly, it's really impossible to sort of stop and be like, no. But there were a few where I thought more pushback could have come. So he said this: we had the worst inflation in the history of our country, and now we don't have inflation. It's at 2%. It's the perfect inflation. I mean, that's just statistically wrong. Like, we had a 12-month report, it was at 3%. And right. He just went and said that. This one kind of was funny to me because, I don't know, I've researched this one and done some reporting on it, but they're talking about tariffs and whether they've led to inflation. He said, we have no inflation, we have no inflation. Biden had inflation and he didn't have tariffs. He didn't use tariffs. You know why he didn't use them? Because he's not smart enough to use them. And in fact, this is why it's so funny. Biden continued Trump's tariffs and enhanced them. Like, that became a big thing, that Biden wouldn't eliminate the China tariffs on electric vehicles.
And Trump himself, in other appearances, has said that Biden continued some of his tariffs. So, like, the guy's like, it's like he tells you one story and then he tells you another story. Can I just pick on the inflation thing for a second? Look, Trump bullshits people all the time. And like, the inflation rate is one of them. He'll tell you it's this. An average person, like, I don't know what the inflation rate is, but Trump gets specific about prices and he'll tell you the price of eggs has gone down, the price of bacon has gone up, the price of this or that. And real people, ordinary people, they can answer that question because they buy things. They can tell you whether. Yeah. So when Trump says the price of something has gone down, a grocery, and he says, when he says it's gone down and that they know that it's gone up, that kind of stuff won't wash. And I wonder if he can get really nailed on that in the election.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because he wasn't, that's when they asked about the grocery prices, he wasn't very specific about that, except for saying, yeah, the price of beef has gone up, but we're working on that.
Mm-hmm. Inflation.
No, you're wrong. They went up under Biden. Right now, they're going down, other than beef, which we're working on.
But he was very specific on the macro stuff, so the inflation stuff. But, you know, just how far we've come, honestly. He did say, you know, classically Trump, the 2020 election was, quote, rigged and stolen. And it just kind of, it was like a little raindrop in a river, right? It's like, it's so immaterial at this point and so inconsequential to these interviews. And yet you think about it, you're like, this is the biggest, most pernicious lie that he tells. And we're past the point where people feel the need to push back about it because it's just so constant. It's very sad.
He does. He has said this probably about 150 times since he returned. And not only does he say it, Sam, now he says the part where he says just what you did. I say this. I used to say it and people would object. Now I say it and no one even argues with me. He says that now more than once. So the fact that he doesn't get pushback anymore, including from the press that are just too jaded, like they've said it 100 times that it's not true. So they just stop. And he gets away with it. And now he's advertising that as some kind of acknowledgement that he was right.
Now, people might be saying, well, why didn't Nora just say that's not true, Mr. President? And she probably could have. But if he says that, if you say that's not true, you get, you know, 10 minutes of him relitigating it in a way that you know exactly how it's going to go. So you do have to make that call. But it is so depressing that he even notices how bad this is. I want to read you my favorite part. Well, one of my favorite parts. Let's play the Mamdani one where he talks about their respective looks.
Some people have compared him to a left-wing version of you. Charismatic, breaking the old rules. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I'm a much better looking person than him, right?
All right, that was a real chuckle. But that actually wasn't my favorite line. My favorite line was him talking about, there's this news report that they're going to start to test nuclear weapons again. And obviously that's not great, right? Like, I don't think anyone's like super psyched that we're going to like test nuclear weapons. And it's not great because he believes that Russia and China are testing nuclear weapons, or Russia and North Korea, and our own government saying, no, that's not true. They're testing the launchers. Anyways, he says this. He goes, doesn't it make sort of sense? You know, you make nuclear weapons and then you don't test. How are you going to do that? How are you going to know if they work?
Right. But Sam, I think you put your finger on it when you talked about the launchers. Okay. What does it mean to test nuclear weapons? Right. There's all kinds of things you can test in the system without detonating the damn thing. Right.
Right.
So there are tests conducted to make sure that parts of the system work. But if we get to the point where you've got to like set it off, like that's where we sort of cross this line.
Oh, no. And then if you start really like going down the logical rabbit hole here, which I did. I mean, does he think that you have to like test all of them? Like, how do you know if one works and not the other? Like, what are we talking about, big guy? This is tough stuff.
I mean, here's he does tariffs, right? And he doesn't really understand how tariffs work, but he talks about it. And that's one thing. But when we shift over to nuclear weapons and he's doing the same ignorance, that's a big problem.
This is guy at the end of the bar after a few drinks stuff here. It's like, you know what? How do we know they work if you haven't tried them? It's like, yo, buddy, just have another beer. All right. Before
we don't let those people get in a car, much less give them nukes.
Okay. I have a quiz for you. But before I do that, I want to know if you have any final observations or thoughts or things you want to talk about from this interview.
There was one other thing that I thought was so weird. He was asked about nuking the, he said he's going to nuke the filibuster, right? He's like, nuke the filibuster, get this.
Not just to be clear, because we just talked about nuclear weapons. Not literally nuke, but yes, go ahead.
Right. And so Norah O'Donnell says to him, John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, says he's not going to do that. And Donald Trump says, he goes, well, that's too bad.
He said today he wasn't going to do it.
Well, that's too bad.
And that's all he has to say. This is a guy who snaps his fingers and Republicans fall in line. So he's like, oh, that's too bad. When in the history of the world, as Trump said, oh, that's too bad. If he wanted to do it, Sam, you know, he would make them do it.
Well, the alternative theory, I do think he wants to do it because he's been bringing it up since term one and he always gets rebuked. The alternative theory is that there's like some things he gets his back into. And then there's some things, if you just tell him no, he's kind of like a big wimp about it. And maybe he doesn't spoil for the fight all the time. But you think you don't think he actually wants it?
I think if he were desperate to end the shutdown,
he would make
them do this.
He turned the screws to Thune. Maybe. Okay. Here's your quiz. I think you're going to do fine here. A repeated name that came up during this interview was Joe Biden. He blamed Joe Biden for just about everything, just about everything. You know, you could go down the list. We read a few of them: inflation, jobs, Venezuela, drugs, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran, everything. It was Biden, Biden, Biden. All right. This is a 90-minute interview. How many times in that interview do you think the word Biden was uttered? And that includes Biden administration.
Oh, hell. The problem is you've seen the whole transcript and I've only watched the
I control F'd. Yes. I'm talking about the whole transcript. If you had to guess how many times Joe Biden was mentioned in this.
I literally only saw Biden. I shockingly saw him mentioned few times relative to how often Trump usually mentions Biden. You know, I would guess 10.
Wrong. Way wrong. Okay. 42. 42. Holy
those were edited out, Sam. I'm telling you, those were edited 42 out.
42 times he mentioned Biden. He did mention Obama. He mentioned Obama 10 times.
Right. So
maybe you're thinking about Obama. A lot of blame casting here.
Look, the truthiness is Trump mentions Biden all the time. And it's just so weird because he wants to kind of erase Biden. But it's like the new boyfriend who can't stop talking about the old boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know who's really the king here? It's the guy who keeps being mentioned by the one who came after.
It's so true. All right, man. This was fun. Nothing else. Trump should do these more so we have more fun videos to make. Will Salatin, thank you, buddy. Talk to you later. For everyone who watched us, appreciate it. Appreciate you watching us. We do this for you. We sift through these transcripts for you.